Welcome to Revitalize and Restart, a podcast dedicated to the discussion of church revitalization, restart, and renewal. We invite you to listen as a host and some of the best practitioners in the field of church revitalization and restart discuss issues facing the church in America. And now, here is your host, Dr. Steve Sells, author, conference speaker, and president of Operation Transformation.
Welcome to Revitalize and Restart. I'm Steve Sells, your host, and it's so good to have you join in with us again. Last podcast, we started talking about this thing of leading under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. So we're going to continue with that. We developed, I think, a little bit of a statement concerning this whole topic in the fact that any leader must be the kind of leader that will transform that which he's leading, the people and the organization. And we talked about the fact that a Spirit-led leader had always depends on the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-led leader is only accountable to God for how he leads. So we're going to take up where we left off from that particular session last time. So this is part two of leading under the influence. We talked about last time the fact that we were going to talk about some leadership styles. And if you've done any study about leadership styles, you'll know that there's a vast array of leadership styles. We're going to just cover some of the main ones today so that we can actually understand the difference between those styles and transformational leadership. The one that comes to mind automatically when I begin to think about it, because I am a church revitalizer, and oftentimes I see this in churches and pastors and leaders in churches, and that is more of an authoritative kind of leadership style. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of authority that God gives a pastor or a leader. I'm talking about taking leadership way beyond that and becoming actually dictatorial. This authoritarian kind of leadership style, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you are leading people and as long as people are following and you're leading under the authority of God and the Holy Spirit. But this is really, when you think about it, the authoritative style is the classical approach to leadership. And in that, the manager or the leader retains all the power. He basically, what he says is gospel, and he's the one that leads. And it's an expectation of people falling in behind him and doing as he leads out to do. There's not a lot of flexibility whatsoever in this authoritative kind of leadership because it is so controlling and so demanding of those who are doing the following. And it's kind of a carrot stick approach, if you please. And that is you hang the carrot out in front of those that you are wanting to follow you. And what that basically means is, you know, you reward them when they do what they're supposed to do. You give them the carrot when they do what they're supposed to do. And really, this authoritative kind of leadership is completely focused on productivity and getting what the leader wants. So, I mean, you know, I guess in a production situation, in a company, authoritative leadership takes place a lot. And I would assume that it brings about the kind of production, the kind of product, the kind of numbers as far as bringing about the production cost and the production numbers that need to be had. So authoritarian kind of leadership is a real type of leadership. I just don't think it fits well within the church. Now, I'm not knocking those who are more authoritative than others. I just don't think it can take the place of a transformational kind of leader. There's another kind of leader that I think is pretty prevalent in our society today, and that's the benevolent kind of leader. The benevolent kind of leader. They're very, very, very much people-oriented. They are the kind that do a lot of encouraging. This kind of leader really pats his people on the back a lot. He organizes everything that he does around people and around those who work for him or those who he is seeking to lead. And really, this can kind of be paternalistic in a sense, that the people look up to that benevolent leader as the one that they need to follow and completely do exactly what they would have them to do. And so that type of benevolent leader is more of a country club, it's non-competitive at all. It's the kind of leader that says, let's go do this together. Now, there's really good aspects of that, because a good leader always tries to pull people together. There's another type of leader that I think is very important to understand when you stop to think about the differences between leaderships, and that is the laissez-faire kind of leadership. It's also known as kind of the handoff style of leadership. In other words, I'm going to tell you what to do, and I'm going to step aside, and I'm going to ask you to do it. I'm going to ask you to accomplish it. I'm going to take my hands off of it. In this kind of leadership, there's little or no direction. And this is not the kind of thing that a transformational leader does. A transformational leader is going to let people do, but they're going to stay involved in the process as well. It gives followers, this laissez-faire kind of leadership style, gives the followers much more freedom to do what they want to do rather than accomplishing the task that the leader has for them to accomplish. Authority and power given over to the followers. Now, in transformational leadership, there is power given to those who are following, but it is done under the leadership of a transformational leader and directing them to be transformational in what they do as well. Followers help decide goals, and they make decisions, they help resolve problems. And there again, that's a lot like a transformational leader. A transformational leader involves the people to help accomplish, but transformational leadership goes a little bit further. Actually, a laissez-faire kind of leader is a person who passes on information more than anything else. He tells his followers, this is what needs to be done, this is how to do it, and they step aside and they let them do it. Take their hands off of it. This is what needs to happen, so I expect you to get it done and do it right. It abdicates responsibility to the team. No leader can step away from his team and expect that team to function properly. That's one of the fallacies, or one of the worst parts of being a laissez-faire leader. And when you put it aside of transformational leadership, there's a lot of similarities, but a transformational leader never steps aside and never relinquishes his leadership to the team. Then there is a bureaucratic kind of a leader. That bureaucratic kind of a leader is, he manages by the book. if you're going to do it, you're going to do it the way it's written for you to do it. Now, and you know, oftentimes in our churches, we see some leaders rising up with a bureaucratic type of approach. Many churches have constitutions and bylaws. Many churches have their handbooks, their policy handbooks, and there are always some people in the churches that may end up in leadership role that want to do things by the book. Now, listen, I believe we ought to do things by the book, but not the book that we write. I think we ought to do things by the book that God has given us, the Word of God. But a manager who is a bureaucratic kind of manager or a leader that works from a bureaucratic approach is one that goes by procedure, goes by policy. There's no black and white. There's no shadowy area. Everything is, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it has to be, no matter what the outcome and no matter how you get about doing it. Example of, and it's not a bad example, but a good example of a bureaucratic leader is a police officer. A police officer has to go by the book. He has to make decisions by the book, by the law, by what is written that would cause us to do and act a certain way. So there's that bureaucratic kind. I don't think that has a place in the church whatsoever. I think bureaucratic kind of leadership should be left actually to the bureaucrats, if you come right down to it. But then there's the democratic kind of leadership. And to be honest with you, many of our churches pride themselves in being a democratic body. Literally, the church is not a democratic party. It's not a democracy. The church it comes under the leadership of God. And God's not governed by anyone but God. But a democratic kind of leadership, it refers to a participative kind of style. Everybody has a say. Now, we in most churches, especially Baptist churches, we vote on everything. And I no problem with that. I think that's fine. But ultimately, God has the say. You see, churches ought to be a theocracy, not a democracy. Ought to be led by God through His leader that He has placed in that congregation to be the leader. A democratic kind of a leader in a democracy kind of setting keeps employees informed. He shares decision making and problem solving responsibilities. Nothing wrong with that at all. More of a coach than anything else, and gathers a lot of information from those he work on his staff before he ever makes decisions. He asks a lot of people a lot of things and gets a lot of answers. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But a church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy, and God places His leader in that theocracy so that He might be able to lead him through His Holy Spirit. That is where transformational leadership comes in. Transformational leadership is perfect with a theocracy because God puts the leader there to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Then there is the coercive kind of leadership. I know there's a lot of different kinds of leaders, but a coercive kind of leader is a person who has the power to punish if the results are not what the leader wants. This is really a tyrannical kind of leadership, and it's more of a dictatorship than anything else. It's most obvious types of power a leader has. I mean, you know, if you do what I ask you to do, then you'll benefit from it. If you follow my leadership, I will reward you. And if you do not, I will punish you. And by taking this away from you and it's done in a lot of businesses, you do what we ask you to do you as a leader. Or we'll cut your pay, or we'll cut your time, or all those kinds of things. But coercive leadership is not a real good kind of leader, and it certainly does not fit in a local church setting. Good leaders only use coerciveness as an absolute last resort, and then it should be thought through very, very clearly before it's ever used. Sometimes you have to say to people, we have to go this route. If we don't go this route, here are going to be the results. And then there is what I call the transactional kind of leader. This is kind of probably the most common in the corporate world, transactional kind of leadership. And that is, it motivates followers by appealing to their self-interest. Now, it brings about an exchange process. And what I mean by that, it focuses on the accomplishments of the task and the good worker and the relationship with the exchange of reward, exchange of results because there have been maybe particular gains made in the business, maybe an amount of productivity has been met, service has been done, that kind of thing. It brings about an exchange for desirable rewards. You do a good job, I'm going to reward you. You work hard, I'm going to reward you. And there's not a thing wrong with that because that works well in a corporate world, transactional. The transaction is, you do a good job, I reward you for that good job. That's transactional. Now, that really doesn't have a place in a church, but I can see where that is very good leadership style within the business world and how the business world operates. Now, in that transactional kind of leadership, it encourages the people that are following to adapt to the style of the leadership and the behavior of the leadership to meet expectations of those that are in authority and those that are leading out. Now, those are just several of the kinds of leadership styles that we see, and they're not by any means all of the leadership styles, but there's one that I want to talk specifically about, and it's what this whole podcast about, what the last podcast was about, and that is transformational, godly, spirit-led leadership. And let's talk about that for a minute. Transformational leadership requires a certain kind of charisma, and it absolutely requires a leader to be visionary. And in a later podcast, we're going to talk about visioning and the visionary process. But the leader must be visionary. He must be one who can lead people that have a little bit of charisma about them. He inspires followers to transcend their self-interest for kingdom work and for kingdom principles. A transformational leader knows how to get people to see the big picture. If we do this according to the will of God, these are going to be the results. And of course, in the church, the results always have to do with advancing the kingdom of God. And if we don't do what we do to advance the kingdom, then we are failing horribly. So transformational leadership, transformational spirit-led leadership, always inspires followers to go beyond their own self-interest and to accomplish kingdom work, not self-interest work, not personal ideas, but to accomplish the kind of work that God has for the church to accomplish. It appeals to followers' ideals and values. It instills in those that are following values that go beyond a personal values. They are values that are drawn from the Word of God. They are values that are drawn from being in the will of God and doing kingdom work for the kingdom of God and accomplishing those particular things that God is leading that particular church to accomplish. It inspires, I think, followers to think about problems in new and different ways. And my, if we've ever needed that in a church, we need it today. I mean, our world is full of problems. And oftentimes, we look at those problems in a way that just simply don't gel with the circumstances in our world. So it's very important, I think, that we be able to look at problems in a new and different way. And here's a catch to all of this. As we look at problems through kingdom eyes, as transformational leaders, then we have new insight as to how to solve those problems and how to bring about a good working situation and a good accomplishment for the kingdom and its work in the world. The common strategies that are used in transformational spirit-led leadership is to influence followers, to include vision and framing of that vision into the future of that church and the future of that church working in the kingdom. So those are the kinds of leadership styles, not by any means all of the leadership styles, but those are just a few of the leadership styles that I wanted to share with you. Well, let's talk for a minute now on the character traits of spirit-led leaders. What really makes up the character? If you're listening to this and watching this, you're saying, well, okay, but what is a spirit-led leader, a transformational leader? What are some of the character traits of that spirit-led leader? First of all, a spirit-led leader is always going to seek to be spirit-filled daily. I love what Paul the Apostle says. He said, I die daily. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And the Bible says that we should keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God is not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. I mean, we get out of bed some mornings and don't feel like we're filled with anything. But the Spirit of God, when we're saved, comes to live within us. And we ought to be living out a Spirit-filled life on a daily basis. So if I'm going to be a transformational leader, I'm going to have to strive daily to let the Spirit of God live through me. I'm going to have to strive daily to let the Spirit of God take control of my life. I think also, along with that, and as a support of that, we've got to be students of the Bible. If you want to be a transformational leader, you've got to stay in the Word of God. You've got to touch the Word of God daily so God can touch your life in the same way. You've got to open the Word of God and read it. You've got to study it on a daily basis. If you want to walk a Spirit-filled life, you've got to be walking that Spirit-filled life based on the Word of God. I mean, after all, we've heard this cliche many, many times. The Word of God is God's love letter to His children. And if I'm going to live out a Spirit-filled life, I need to know and understand the Word of God. So a second character trait is, if you're going to be a transformational leader, you need to stay in the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God on a daily basis. At the same time, that goes hand in hand with this thing of Bible study and being filled. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, you've got to have that Bible study. But secondly, you've got to be much in prayer. All the great, great leaders and all the Christian leaders, the church leaders that I've known of and read many books about were prayer warriors. I know prayer warriors. I don't know whether you may know one or not, but I know some prayer warriors. I'm not talking about saying a little nice ditty prayer before you go to bed. I'm talking about spending time with God in prayer. You want to live a Spirit-filled life. You want to be a transformational leader. Spend time with God in prayer. Have you a prayer place that you can go to secluded, away from people, and spend time with God. That's where You have to get it. That's where you're going to get the power. There's where the Holy Spirit of God's going to work in your life. There's where you're going to understand the Word of God as you read and study the Word of God. But I will tell you this too. If you want to be a transformational leader, sometimes there has to be a heart change. Now, what I mean by that is, I've got to have a servant's heart. If I want to be transformational in what I do as a leader, my heart's got to be different. You see, I've got to see the people that I'm leading as people that I serve. People that need to be served. So if I'm going to be transformational, I've got to be a servant. If you study the scripture, you know full well that Jesus came to minister to, not to be ministered to. He came to be a servant, not to be served. And that's exactly what the Word of God teaches us. To be transformational, you've got to serve people. You've got to love people. And I tell you something else, in that loving people and serving people, you got to be inclusive. You know, we can't choose who we love, who we don't love. We start trying to choose who we love and who we don't love, we're going to make a mess of things. You see, the Bible says love one another. It didn't say love those who love you. It didn't say love those who are lovable. It says love one another. And we've got to be inclusive of people. If we're going to be transformational leaders, there's no way in the world we can do it if we don't love other people and include other people. But then you got to be visionary. Now, what I mean by that, that's not some mythical or mystical kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being visionary like old Nehemiah. And we'll talk about him some a little bit later. And we're going to talk about some, in our next episode, we're going to talk about some visionary leaders and how they viewed their ministry and what God did in using them. But you got to be visionary. In other words, as a leader, you got to know where God wants you to take that church. You've got to know. I went through a time of not understanding that when I pastored. I pastored 33 years. And I was in a church that was just spinning its wheels. And God did a work in my heart and called me to understand if I didn't know where God wanted that church to go and be visionary in my leadership, it would never get anywhere. And God transformed, I'll share that a little bit later, God transformed my approach to ministry as a result of that. You got to be visionary. And being visionary means that you know what God wants for that church. And if you put all these other things into effect, you're going to know how to lead other people to catch that vision and to live out that vision. And then you've got to, if you're going to be a transformational leader, you've got to be a caring, compassionate person. You got to live out a compassionate life. Now, there are hurting people everywhere. I mean, if you're pastoring a church, you know there's hurting people in your congregation. And sometimes those hurting people we just don't like to deal with because sometimes that hurt gets transferred to us, doesn't it? But I'll tell you this, God expects us to be transformational in helping these people who are hurting by sharing our compassion and our care with them. So, the heart of a Spirit-led leader, is he Spirit-filled? He's a student of the Bible. He's a prayer warrior. He's a servant heart. He includes others. He's visionary. And he's caring and compassionate. These are all character traits of a transformational leader, a Spirit-led leader. One that can take a church beyond where it is to where God wants it to be. Man, I'm so glad you tuned in to listen today. This was part two of Leading Under the Influence. Now, we're going to be bringing part three, Leading Under the Influence, and what we're going to be doing in that session is we're going to look at some biblical characters. We're going to talk about how they lived under the presence of the Holy Spirit and led under the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll come back for the next episode. Tell everybody about the podcast. We sure would love to have more people tuning in. We just appreciate you being here. God bless you till the next time is my prayer.
Thanks for joining us for Revitalize and Restart. Make sure to visit our website, www.operation-transformation.org, and subscribe to our show in iTunes, Stitcher, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Don't forget to join us next time, and again, thanks for listening.